goodness of God this morning. Let's just spend a moment. Some of us have had some really good times in 2023, and some of us have had some not so good times in 2023. But we can all agree that we start to look to 2024 and we have the question of, what does that look like for me? I'm going to tell you what that looks like for you. If you have confessed with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, 2024 looks pretty bright. I'm not saying it's not going to have some challenges, some difficult times. I'm just saying the goodness of God always shows up. When you need it the most, He's there. When you need Him the most, He'll pull you through. He is worthy of it all. I love that song that the angels and the saints, those that have gone before us, bow down and they worship. If you don't like worshiping God, then you're going to have a tough time in heaven, because they're in church every single second. It's a whole lot better preacher, though. And I'll be right there beside you, church. We'll be right there with you. Church, He's worthy of it all. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for bringing us through 2023. Lord God, we understand that You never told us it was going to be perfect all the time. In fact, Your scripture teaches us there'll be trials and tribulations and sacrifices and difficult times. But Lord God, I thank You that through it all, You're still, the goodness of God shows up. Your goodness is always there. Lord, thank You for that. Lord, I expect nothing but that same goodness in 2024. I thank You, Lord. Father, bless us this day, the last day of 2023. Lord God, let us look with expectation and anticipation for what You have for us in 2024. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey, look to somebody who's just seated and say, I'm expecting something great in 2024. We should be expecting something great in 2024. Good morning, Cross Point Church. It is truly the last service we're going to have here in 2023. Thank you so much, Tyler. Thanks. Well, I would just ask you to continue to pray. We have many people, as Nicole mentioned, that are out sick. And some of you have been sick this past week. I've been fighting the same respiratory stuff that you've all been fighting probably, and we're just going to still believe God is good. Pray for those who can't be here today. If you're watching online, thank the Lord that we have the ability to broadcast a service online, that you could still be with us on in church at Cross Point. You'll probably hear me cough and hiccup a couple times during the service. Please forgive me. I will do the best I can. It will just be a great day in God's house. Pastor Mike's going to throw me water. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hey, Pastor Nicole made an announcement about volleyball tonight. I just want to make a quick correction. I think she said 7. It starts at 9 tonight. Now, for all of those that are in volleyball, you kind of looked at each other saying, that's a lot longer than we anticipated, right? We can't play volleyball for 5 hours. That's not what I heard. But you're going to be off the hook. You'll only have to play for 3. From 9 till midnight, and then you're going to celebrate the new year, but you'll be doing that down in the Graver Life Center gym. So be blessed. It's 9 o'clock tonight, so be blessed for that. And we still have, as she mentioned, all great things happening as we move into 2024. Whew. Okay, thanks for coming. Hey, let me tell you something else before we get started. This is a special day for Nicole and I, and I don't even know if Nicole realizes this. Today's our anniversary. Do you know that? She says, I didn't know this was our anniversary, right? This completes 6 years of ministry for my wife and I in Canton, Ohio. Canton, Ohio, yep. We started the very first Sunday of 2018 when I had hair, and here we are, you know, going into the seventh year next week, this coming week. I remember it because it's the new year. Every year it's our anniversary. So it has been a ride. We have been so blessed. The goodness of God has been wonderful, and we're just celebrating 2024, and we're celebrating 2023. You know, speaking of this new year thing, I do this every year. I talk about New Year's resolutions. I do that on purpose because I know so many of you really believe in these New Year's resolutions, and they're not really anything but a commitment, right? I've been hearing people around the church saying, I'm committing, or I have this New Year's resolution to do this. And of course, you hear the ones that we always do, like, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to lose weight, right? I'm going to do it this year. This is my year, right? I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to work out more, or I'm going to, whatever it may be, you know, we make these New Year's resolutions, and I do this almost every single year. I talk about, you know, introductions of New Year's resolutions because, you know, so many people do them. And then, you know, you got to wonder how successful they are, right? How successful is a New Year's resolution? Well, what is it? Well, it's your commitment, right? People say, I'm going to stop doing some bad things that I did in 2023, and I'm going to start doing some good things in 2024. That's kind of what it is, right? And you make this resolution, and the resolution is really just your commitment to do something, right? I'm not sure why we picked the beginning of the new year to make this commitment. Church, you can make a commitment anytime you want. But for some reason, you know, we have these resolutions. And why? We do them to reflect on the past year and make some type of commitment to change in 2024, or the new year. And it makes us feel good as we go into the new year that I've got this new commitment. I'm going to do this thing, right? So I want to tell you that 90% of you will fail by the end of the month, right? Because that's the new statistic. 90% of the people that make these resolutions, they fail by the end of January of that year, right? So what's the reason? Why do we fail to go through on our commitment? Why is that like that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Here's the latest research on why we can't maintain the commitment that we make. 35% of us fail because we set unrealistic goals. Now, my goal to lose 30 pounds ain't happening, right? Maybe 10, maybe 15. It ain't going to happen at 30, right? If you make an unrealistic goal, it might not happen. And many of us make unrealistic goals. And 35% of us make an unrealistic goal that we can't obtain. So you have to think about that. Then there's the 33% of us that can't keep track of our progress. Then we fail. We have no way of saying, I'm going to maintain some type of schedule. Now, if you're saying, I'm going to lose weight, you've got to set up some type of progress or schedule. Like, I'm going to the gym on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Years ago, as my wife knows, I used to be a kind of a gym rat with one of our kids, and we would go to the gym all the time. Now, I looked a whole lot better back then. As I got a little bit older, I couldn't do the same things I used to do, right? So the schedule had to change. I used to go to the gym probably 3 to 4, maybe 5 times a week. And I was proud for an older guy. This is probably, I stopped probably 5 years ago. We moved to Canton, and it was just harder and harder to maintain the schedule because, well, I was just getting older, and I was trying to do some of the things that my young kid was doing, and he's like 6'4", 240. And he was really into that. You've seen him here. He was here for Christmas, you know, a week or so ago. And so it's hard to keep up with that schedule. But if you don't have something to keep track of your progress, you're not going to make it. And 33% of us fail because we don't do that. But 23% of us fail because, well, we just forget. We set something up, but we forget to do it. Because when we transition into the new year, we make this commitment, the new year shows up, and it's really much the same as the old year. Same job, same situation, same, you know, your schedule. And you really got to make a commitment to follow something, to make it happen. Your success depends on it. But 23% of us just forget. 10% fail because we just make too many resolutions. What's that mean, Pat? It means we make too many commitments, so we're not doing any one of them really well. Happens in church a lot. People are really gung-ho. They're really sold out for Jesus, and we make a lot of commitments and take on a lot of responsibility, and they find out after a while it's too hard to maintain the schedule because they don't have enough time. Happens all the time. And people just do that in general, but especially around the first of the year, we make all these because it makes you feel good that you're going to make a change in your life. And why so much failure? I'll tell you why. You're on your own. You're on your own. You make a commitment, this responsibility, this resolution, and we fail a lot because we're just by ourselves. You know, it's a personal thing, really. And what are we really talking about here? Well, we're talking about two words. If you watch our Facebook page, you'll see these two words because we're starting this series today. It's called I'm Being Alive. And what's that? It's about personal growth. I make a resolution. I want to feel alive. I'll make this commitment. I want to feel alive. It's about a personal commitment to grow, right? To not do the bad things you did in 2023 into 2024 and do some good things in 2024 that you didn't do in 2023. It's a shift, and it's about growth. Now, I've preached before and given you statistics on these motivational speakers before and how much of a big business that is. It's huge in the United States, motivational speech, because people are always looking for personal growth. They're looking for it. Well, we just don't want to commit to it all the time. So that's why these resolutions don't fare well. Because it's not about the resolution to do it, it's about the commitment to get it done. And it's the commitment factor that kind of weighs us down a little bit. We struggle sometimes to commit. So when we're talking about being alive and growing, we're okay with saying it. And what are we talking about? It's about getting better. Being better in my life. And then the second word we're going to talk about today is active. What's that? That's producing the result of trying to be better. So you make this commitment and you're alive to it. I'm going to lose weight. I'm just using that one because that's like the number one resolution of every year. I'm going to lose weight. I'm alive to that. I'm going to have some personal growth. I'm going to be active. I'm going to get it done. The how to get it done, you've got to add in there, right? The schedules and all that. But, you know, that's really what we're talking about. But 90% of the time, we fail at doing it. Now, 10% of the time, people do it. But that statistic only talks about to the end of January. Because no one is really paying much attention to what happens after that. Why? Because we're into the new year. And nobody really cares but you. If you've committed. I maintain a journal as a pastor so I can go back and look at all the things that I say I'm going to do and read about the things I did. I also maintain a faith file. This is everything God's done for me, the church. It's the things that I built my faith on. And I do that because if I didn't do it, I know I would forget some things. Because I'm forgetful. We just forget. You know, God knew this, and he built something into his word that talked about being alive and active. In church, let's go to Hebrews 4:12, and here's where God says, listen, you want to be alive and active, here's how you do it. Church, if you want to be alive and active in 2024, I'm teaching you today how to be alive and active. So your commitment that you make doesn't go away by the end of January. It's got some holding power. It's got some substance. It's got some staying power. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's what the word is. So right away, the writer, the undesignated writer, says this is what it is. The word of God is alive. And it's active. That means if you grab hold of the word of God, you will be alive and active. That's what it says. It's so alive and active, the Bible says it's a double-edged sword. You ain't going to escape it. It's going to do what it needs to do on both sides, right? And what does it do? Hebrews 4:12 continues. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. Now, there's a commitment to be alive and active. That almost scares you straight, right? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Church, God's word is more than just a historical record. I have had more conversations with people over the years that the Bible is just a history book. And it's not. Because I'm perfect proof. I'm a testimony of it's alive and active. Why? Because I've grabbed hold of it and it's alive and active in me. And I've been transformed because it's alive and active. It's a commitment. So your success is dependent on your willingness to trust God with your commitment. See, on the resolution side, your success is dependent on you. But on the commitment side to God's word, to be alive and active, the commitment is a partnership between you and God. I'll make you alive and active, he says. I'll take care of everything you need to be done in your life if you commit to my word as your guide in life in 2024. If you commit, I'll walk alongside you. I'll lead you. I'll push you. I'll guide you. Put in the words that you need. It is not a history book. The word of God is alive and active. It not only lives, but it works. It not only lives, but it works. Now, how many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many can attest to the fact that it works? It works. It might not work as fast as you want it to work. It may not show up when you need it to show up, or want it to show up, I should say. It will show up when you need it to show up. But if we're not defining it by our standard of what a resolution should be in our life, and you define it by what God says it should be, it's like the perfect timing. My wife always says God's timing is always perfect. She always says, just in the nick of time. It just is perfect. Can you imagine? If God would have showed up a minute earlier or a minute later, it wouldn't have been right. It's right perfect for the situation. God has a 100% success rate. And your New Year's resolution, depending on you, has a 90% failure rate. I latch on to God's word every time. Right? Every single time. As you sit here today or you're watching online, you think, what is my 2024 going to look like? Your 2024 can be transformed if you decide that your commitment, your resolution, is going to be a partnership with God and his word as opposed to losing weight or something. Because I believe if your partnership is with God's word, then that will penetrate you, double-edged sword you, to make the changes in your life that you need to make, whatever they may be. God will shape you and mold you. If you commit to that, that church is being alive and active. So let's talk a little bit about the word alive. The Bible says the word of God is alive. What does that mean? Well, how many realize that the Bible was not written in English, right? It's not written in English. We have an English Bible, many versions of it, but it wasn't written in English. But there's a translation when it was written, some of it in the Greek. And the word alive is translated to the word living, which means, biblically, it means to have life. You have this definition of what alive means, and I'm telling you right now, the word says it means to have life. When you make a partnership with Jesus Christ, and you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you have made a commitment to have life. Why? Because the scripture says he's the giver of life. And you've just made the connection. Therefore, for many of us here today and watching online, we understand what that means because we've made that connection, so we are alive. We're alive. Not just a physical life, but more importantly, a spiritual life. We are alive. And Hebrews 3:12 says it like this. So see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the alive, living God that gives you life. The living God. And Peter talked about it. In 1 Peter 1:23, he says it like this. For you have been born again. Oh, there's that word that a lot of us run from. The salvation, the born again word. I watched a football game last night. Go Cowboys. I knew as I watched the game last night, if you watched the game, I knew that Dallas is God's favorite team. If you watched the game last night, you know I'm right. You know. I heard that, right? You know I'm right, folks, because Dallas goes up by a touchdown with a minute 43 left, and they kicked off the ball, and the opposing Detroit Lions, they come storming down the field. I was not happy. They just ran right over. Dallas just kind of like, man, we got this game, right? That apathy attitude, they can't, you know, and they just came storming back. And they scored a touchdown with 23 seconds left in the game. So now it's 20-19. And you know what they're going to do. See, Detroit was already won their division. They're set. So this crazy coach decides to go for two, right? You can go for two. The ball's on the two-yard line. If you score in the end zone, you get 2 points. They would win 21-20. And they tried that fool's thing three times, right? Watch that game. My wife deferred and went to bed. So the first play from scrimmage to get that extra 2 points to win the game, they threw it to a player in the end zone, and that was a two-point conversion. However, as you saw, it was a lineman, number 68, all over the news this morning, right? Number 68 caught the ball. He's a lineman, offensive lineman. He's not allowed to catch the ball. He's not even allowed to be down the field unless he reports to the ref that he's eligible to catch a ball. And apparently, hey, who knows, right? He didn't do that. Penalty. Now, move him back 5 yards. Let's do it again. So the coach decides, let's do it again. He commits to do it again. And you heard the announcer say, a former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, Troy Aikman, he's committed to do this as long as he can because he's not going to change it, kick an extra point. He's going to run the ball or pass the ball. So now they're on the 7-yard line. They make another play. And it wasn't successful, but Dallas was offsides. I would question that call, because I'm not really convinced that he was. But that's okay. So they moved it up another 5 yards, closer to the end zone, right? The third time, I'm thinking, okay, he's got to kick the extra point just to tie it now. And he doesn't. He commits to go for 2 points again to win the game. And he was unsuccessful. And Dallas won, as they should have anyways, right? My point is, talk about commitment. The people were going to continue to commit no matter what the outcome was. They were committed to being committed. They were committed to be committed. And you talk about being alive. It goes for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Now let me explain something to you as Peter's talking about this. He goes like this again. For you have been born again. You're following Jesus, not from perishable seed. A seed means it decays. Perishable means it decays and has no root. But of imperishable, which means it doesn't decay and it's rooted to something. That's what that means. It's rooted to something. It's connected to something. Why? Because your commitment should not be alone. Your commitment is connected to something. So Peter says, listen, your commitment's connected, and your commitment is connected to Jesus Christ and God's word. And there's a partnership there, and you're connected there because that's what makes you alive. And God's word is made alive in us and through us through Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're not supposed to do it alone to be alive. You're not supposed to do it alone. Let's talk about the word active. So you're alive. I'm connected to Jesus. And many of us here today and watching online, we're connected to Jesus, but are we active? Are we connected? Are we active? What does 2024 look like, and what does your 2023 look like? Were you active? Were we active? Active means you were effective and powerful, and you had some intended result, and you produced it. You were active. It's like this. Pastor, I'm going to do this in 2024. Go do it, right? God's told me to do this. If God told you to do it, go do it. Who am I to get in the way of God? That's the activity. It means to be effective and powerful, producing the intended result. It not only lives, but now works. So you're alive and you're active in 2024. You're going to be alive to Christ, but you've got to be active. It's got to work. God's got some intended result for you to work towards, and it's not your resolution first. See, I know everybody here in this room and everybody watching online has been called to do something. Purpose. You're not here just to come on a Sunday morning and listen to a preacher, even though the preaching might be really good, right? The worship might be better. But you're here because God wants you active. He wants you active in 2024. He wants you to be working, be effective and powerful. Who wants to be effective and powerful in 2024 while producing an intended result? Is there anybody here that wants that in their life? Is there anybody here that can say, Pastor, I want to be active. I want something different to happen in 2024 than happened in 2023. I want either something new or just something better. Am I the only one? Right? Am I the only one that looks forward and says, Lord, take me to something better. Move me forward. Make me alive and active. Right? The thoughts like this, church, the word of God is vibrant, dynamic, energizing, and productive. It is not static or idle in the lives of a genuine believer. God moves, right? You know, Paul made an explanation of this, and I'm going to talk to you about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says it like this, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which is alive and active, which you heard from us, him, you accepted it, not as a human though, but as actually as it is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you if you believe it. If you believe it. If you believe that the word of God is alive and active and living, and you grab hold of it, your transformation starts. I didn't say it, Paul did. What a transformation that would be, right? And what happens? Jeremiah laid the groundwork in Jeremiah 23, 29. He says, it's like a hammer. It breaks the rocks to pieces. Just think of it. Something in your life today, church, and you're making this commitment, this resolution, this New Year's resolution to change it in 2024. Your pastor stands up on the last service of 2023 and says, listen, you can make all those commitments you want, but because they're relying on you, you're probably going to fail. Why? Because we fail, which is human, right? But if you connect yourself to heaven and God's word and become alive and active and effective and powerful, and you're working for this intended result, whatever that may be, if you put God's word first and everything follows behind it, you don't need a resolution. You've got a resolution. Everything would flow right from there. What am I saying? I'm saying if you spend, 10 minutes a day in God's word, I'm saying spend 20. There is a commitment. If you spend no time in God's word, spend time. Make the commitment of 10 minutes. Don't make a commitment of an hour if you do none, because you will not do the hour. Start with 10. and then go to 15 and 20 or what have you. And commit. And watch the active and alive situation happen in your life, just like Paul writes about. It's life-changing. Things happen when God's word goes forth. It's life-changing. Things just happen when you connect yourself to God's word. To be alive and active, church, I call us just to be alive and active and spend more time in God's word. And connect. Isaiah 55:11, Isaiah speaks it like this. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It's not going to return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I'll put it in this practical terms. You connect yourself to God's word more than you ever have. If you want to lose weight, God will help you, and that will happen. Why? To be healthier. Whatever the case may be, God will help. I need some financial assistance. Well, guess what? God will teach you supernatural financial assistance in his word. Oh, yeah, it's there, right? Pastor, it's not in there. Oh, yeah, it is in there. It's called tithing. It's God's supernatural deliverance from financial disaster on earth. It is. It's God's supernatural deliverance of your disasters on earth in the finances. He'll tell you in his word, but if you don't read in his word, you won't know how to do it. You only hear about it, but you won't know how to execute on it. Ah, Pastor, you're preaching on tithing. Well, maybe. Not today, but maybe. Why? Because I want everybody to know the success that people that tithe and understand the supernatural blessing from heaven when you do it. And maybe in 2024 you'll hear that. That'll make you alive and active. That'll transform your life financially. And Isaiah talks about that because God sent it in his word. He had purpose in his word, and he says, I will deliver it just like it says in my word. And it says, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's going to do what I say it's going to do. You won't know what it says it's going to do until you read it. You know, it's crazy today, folks. It's kind of crazy because way back in the day, we had to read God's word. Right, Robin? But today, you can listen to it. You can listen to there's what, 55 versions on my iPad right now of the Bible. 50. I have them all. I could read it. I can hit the button and put headphones on and just listen to it and absorb it. I drive and I listen to it as I'm driving. I just turn it on, hit the button, and it starts wherever I want to start, and I start listening to God's word. So it gets in you. Why? Because the Bible says it's alive and active. And I want to be alive and active, so I'm going to absorb as much as I can absorb, right? Life-changing things. Isaiah talks about those. Church, that's God's commitment to you. That's God's resolution to you. That's God's whatever. He's going to make you alive and active if you attach yourself to his word. You know, think about the day of Pentecost when Peter came out and started preaching. You know the story, you know, the birth of the church, right? Acts chapter 2. And Peter, who had denied Jesus three times just moments earlier, you know, he denies Jesus days earlier, right? And he comes out and he starts to preach. How do you think he felt? He denied Jesus, he comes out and he starts preaching. When Peter preached the message of salvation to those who heard it, the scripture says they were cut to the heart. Let me read it to you. Acts 2:36-37. Watch what happens. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this during the sermon, they were cut to the heart. What does that mean? They were cut to the heart. Said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what are we got to do? You're killing me. It's like today, December 31st, 2023, the pastor is preaching on being alive and active, connecting yourself to the imperishable seed of Jesus Christ through his word. And that makes you alive and active. And Peter stood up there and he said the same thing. He says, this guy transforms me. He made me alive and active. And I want the same thing to happen to you, is what he says. And there is a cry in the crowd. Brothers, what do we got to do? How do I become alive and active? And Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted the message were baptized. About 3,000 people became active. That day. Since that day, millions upon millions upon millions upon millions have become alive and active. And I have never heard one person say that they regret being alive and active when God got a hold of them. I'm sure somebody moaned and complained at some point. 3,000 were added. How does that change us, Pastor? How does being alive and active, connecting to heaven, to God's word, walking with Jesus, how does that, what's that going to do for me in 2024? Let's continue and bring it in for a landing. If you want to be alive and active, you know, it covers everything. What I'm preaching on and talking about here today in the next few weeks, it is going to, it's going to take care of all your resolutions. And Timothy spelled it out in 2 Timothy 3:16 when Paul wrote, he says, all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for everything. Church, if you want to be thoroughly equipped for everything and alive and active, leave here today and make the resolution, the commitment, and partner with heaven that you're going to spend more time in God's word. On Wednesday, you'll show up more than you ever have. You'll get yourself into a class. You'll study more. You'll spend more time in his word. You'll learn how to be alive and active, right? Being alive and active provides you purpose. Isaiah 55:11, just like I read, I love the scripture again, so I use it twice. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return empty, but it's going to accomplish what I desire and achieved it, the purpose for why I sent it in the first place. That means Isaiah is committing to understand that no matter what, God's going to send it out and it's going to happen. What a story back there. I don't even have the time to get into it this morning. There's your first assignment. Study of Isaiah 55. For whatever God sends out, it's going to happen. What does that mean? It means it's going to be effective, it's going to be powerful, and it's going to have the result, the activity that God intended it to be. See, I'm committing in 2024 to spend more time in God's word. More time. Pastor, can tell me how much time you spend. Not enough. Not enough. It could be 10 minutes a day. It could be 2 hours a day. And I'm here to say it's not enough. It's going to be more. How can you do it? Because I'm going to partner more with heaven. Because God's going to reward me for that, right? Being alive and active provides power. It convicts, it comforts, and it transforms. You know, the scripture, let's look at the scripture about when Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4:4. It says, Jesus answered, it's written. Even Jesus went to the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here's a good something to leave you with today, church. When you move into 2024 and you're faced with your first challenge, say those words. It is written. It is written. And if you know how it's written about the scenario you're facing, you'll be able to recite it. It is written. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It is written. Jesus used it. So I got a feeling, church. I got a feeling it's good enough for you and I. Satan, it's written that if I give 10% of my finances, God will bless my finances. And I'll want for nothing. All my needs will be met. What? It's written. It says in Malachi, I won't rob God. I'm going to give him his 10%. Why am I using that so much today? Because so many people have come into your pastor saying, Pastor, my finances are a wreck. And I say, let's talk about tithing. I don't tithe. That's why your finances are a wreck. See you next week, right? God can transform your life. Being alive and active will awaken you. Ephesians 5:14 says, this is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Next week, we're going to introduce the National Assemblies of God Week of Prayer. And we'll be talking about that next week, active and alive, with our prayer life in 2024. We're going to launch a week of fasting and prayer. You want to lose weight, you should commit to fast for 30 days or whatever. I'm being a little funny, but I'm just telling you what a commitment that would be. Being alive and active awakens you. That means when you're in God's word more than ever, you're going to be awakened to more of what it's saying. It's going to wake you up. Because you'll say a phrase like this, I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I didn't receive it like that before. I didn't get it. Why? Because you didn't get there. And if you're not into the word, as heavy as you should be in the word, you'll never know. So make 2024 alive and active and just do it. Right? I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come up. He's going to lead us into communion. What a better way to start 2024 than with communion, right? If you walked in there this morning, you should have been handed a cup. If you didn't, make your way to the back. There's two tables. There's plenty of emblems on the tables. If you would just grab one, I see people going back. You can do that. I think we're going to make a New Year's resolution today. But it's not going to be a New Year's resolution. It's really going to be a commitment by a church. I want to be alive and active. I want to be alive and active in 2024. I'm going to spend more time connected to God's word. That's my cry for us today. That's my heart today. So as Pastor Mike comes to lead us in communion, let's just believe that that's what's going to happen as we gather around God's table.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Just want to encourage, if you're watching online and you're not in the building and you don't have the cup and the bread and the cracker, I would just encourage you, go to your fridge, get some cold pizza and warm Pepsi. It don't matter, because it's not so much the element as it's what we see in Scripture. It's the heart. We see Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper, and he talks, and it's an interesting thing, and it's great that we're doing this today. And here's why. What an intimate moment of the body of Christ coming together and doing the very thing that Jesus led his disciples through. And there's a few things that Jesus and then Paul says what we should do while we were doing this, while we take the elements. And it's about the heart. And it's an interesting thing today as we're talking about looking back, but looking ahead, because there's language that Jesus uses and then Paul reiterates. He says, remember. He says, do this in remembrance of me, what he's done. And then he also says this. Paul reiterates this idea, not only of remembering, but also he goes, as often as you do this. So moving ahead, right? What a better way to start the new year than receiving the elements, amen? 1 Corinthians says it this way. Paul says, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was sitting around the table. And he took the bread. broke it and they passed it around. And this is where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, this is my body. This bread, this is my body. Now we have the freedom and the understanding because we have his word. And I wonder how much the disciples understood and knew that, of what he was going to do on the cross. But he says, this is my body, which is broken. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Father, we just come before you today. We thank you for your body that you sacrificed on the cross and that you willingly chose to be beaten, to be bruised, to be cut. And your word says that, Lord, that was all for us. Was all for us, Lord. And you received that. Your body received that. Lord, help us this morning on this New Year's Eve to remember what you have done for us in this last year, and the commitment, because your word is alive and we are committing for it to be active in our lives. Father, we just commit that, and we thank you for your body that was bruised for our iniquities. Lord, we just thank you. Amen. Let's partake together. When they were done with passing the bread, he took the wine. And he says, this is my blood, which is the new covenant. And we see in his word, we read in his word that his blood covers us. You see, I don't have to go get the spotless lamb. I don't have to do that. I just have to receive him because he was the spotless lamb. And his blood covers us. And we have grape juice and it's red. But isn't it amazing that his word also says that he washes us as white as snow? He also says, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your blood that washes us as clean as snow. Lord, that we are found innocent, blameless, spotless because of your blood that washes over us. Father, that we don't have to do all the rules and the, Lord, and the law. Lord, we just receive you because of your blood, which was shed upon the cross for us and our sins. Lord, we just thank you for that this morning. Help us, Lord, in this new year to remember, as often as we do this, and as often as a daily time of reflection, we commit to you, to being alive and active in your word, and where your word says, Lord, this blood covers us. We thank you. Amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
I just want to pray a special prayer blessing over the church and believe that in 2024 we're going to be alive and active. Can you agree with me today, church? That we're going to be alive and active. We're not just going to be alive in our walk with Jesus. Like, that's the connection. But we're We're going to do something about it. That's the active part. We're going to do something about it. So as my wife comes over, we want to pray a special blessing over you that 2024 is going to be your year to be alive and active. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, for Cross Point Church. For those in the house today watching online, those who are not even with us today, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. A special blessing, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you excite them, make them more alive than ever. I pray, Lord God, that their activity grows, flourishes, Lord. That whatever they put their mind to, you'll make it successful. That partnership, Lord God, you will spell out in your word. You will show them in their daily walk that you are committed to them. As long as we continue to be committed to you. Lord God, bless the church today. Bless this fine church we call Cross Point. And give us a great 2024. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me and let's go out believing that we're going to be alive and active.
Happy New Year. You are